Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Our Lord asks, how is it that you do not understand? He did not speak this to a group of people that He had just first met. Our Lord did not speak this to a group of young people who had not reached a level of maturity. Our Lord did not speak this to a group of His enemies with whom He had not considered a tremendous amount of teaching. The Lord spoke this to His 12 apostles. It seems remarkable to me that our Lord, after a considerable amount of teaching, could look at His apostles and say, how is it that you do not understand? I think what this does is to point out to us that even those who travel with the Lord, whose hearts were intent on learning His will, could sometimes misunderstand. If it was possible for those 12 men who had traveled with our Lord to misunderstand His teaching, is it possible that you and I at times can allow ourselves to misunderstand what the Lord teaches? What is it that we can do in order to try to make sure that we do understand and that we do not allow ourselves to be caught off guard? What I'd like to do this morning is to look at three things with you from this passage. I'd like for us to look, first of all, at the occasion in which these things are said. We're going to go back to about verses 10 and 11, and we're going to discuss the occasion in which this occurred. Second of all, I'd like for us to address the opportunities that the disciples had to learn, opportunities which they had been presented with to understand what the Lord wanted from them. And then number three, for us to look at some objectives that you and I have that we ought to be pursuing so that we make sure that we do not misunderstand. Let's go to the beginning of this passage. I want you to notice verse 11 with me to begin with. Very valuable verse. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with Him, asking from Him a sign from heaven, testing Him. If you take and just look at that verse very carefully, you will notice a few things. Very first thing you will notice, it says they came out, the Pharisees did, and began to dispute with Him. In the original language, that is in the present tense, which indicates it's an ongoing action. When you look at the word, it means to debate, to dispute, to argue, if you will. What is taking place here is these men are not coming out here to just simply ask a question. They're wanting to argue with the Lord. Have you ever met people whose seemingly path of life is to be argumentative? They want to debate everything, every idea, every word. The Pharisees wanted to do that with the Lord. The second thing that Mark's account says that they were asking a sign from Him, from heaven. That is, they wanted to see Jesus work some sort of miracle, like Moses did when he brought the 10 plagues on the Egyptians, or like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. They wanted to see some miraculous work, some miraculous deed done by our Lord. I want you to understand these people here came testing Him. That is, they were trying to get our Lord caught in His words. Now, lest you think that this was just an occasional thing, I want you to look back with me to Mark chapter 7 and verse 1. Mark 7 and verse 1. Because for me to make this valuable, I have to get you to see the events that were occurring in Mark's account. Our Lord has just left, or just arrived, and He's going to leave. He's come to Dalmanutha, and that is Magdala, if you want to know the more common name. That's on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Our Lord is going to leave there, and He's going to go over to Bethsaida, and that's the events that are occurring. So our Lord is on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. But where did these people come from, these Pharisees? Mark 7 verse 1 says, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem." These people are here because they want to argue, and they've come for a particular purpose. I don't know if you understand in the first century how intent some people were on trying to push their views. To go from Jerusalem to Galilee was not a few minute journey, a few hour journey. It was a several day journey. We're not talking about driving to Morrison or driving to Centertown. We're talking about a journey that would take them a long time. They're very intent on confronting Jesus. And as you look a little bit further, you will find that they were here for the very purpose of catching Him in His words. Mark chapter 12, verse 13 reads, "Then they sent to Him some of the Pharisees and Herodians that they might catch Him in His words." It's also important to understand that what they are trying to do is they're asking for a sign. That is something that they were doing because they knew that Jesus was exhibiting some authority. Back in John chapter 2, Jesus had gone into the temple. He had turned over the tables of the money changers. He had driven them out with a whip. And they came to Jesus in John chapter 2 and verse 18 and said, "What sign do you do or show us since you do these things? Show us that you have this authority." When I read Mark chapter 8 and verse 11, I see the Pharisees, I see them with an intent, I see them with a purpose of trying to trip up our Lord. And according to Luke chapter 20 verse 23, "But He perceived their craftiness and said to them, 'Why do you test Me?'" They were trying to be crafty, they were trying to be smart, and they were trying to challenge our Lord. Now, if you look at verse 12 of Mark chapter 8, the Lord sighed deeply. I don't know if you realize how it distressed the Lord to have people who did not have a right attitude, did not have a right motivation, but it distressed Him. Jesus understood that these people were not motivated by the right reason. Now, if you continue on, you will notice in verse 13 that the Lord leaves that area. They get into a ship, and the Lord tells them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. When our Lord speaks that word, tells them, there's a dispute, there's a reasoning going on in their minds. Is the Lord talking about bread? It says they didn't even have but one loaf. What is one loaf among 13 men? You have 12 apostles and our Lord. 13 men. What will one loaf do? Won't feed anybody. But when our Lord says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, He then is speaking about not the bread, but He is speaking about the influence. He's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Herodians and their teaching. What is leaven? Leaven is that agent that causes bread to rise. It's the yeast that's in the bread. The attitude expressed by the Pharisees as well as those who served Herod was exactly the same. Those Herodians were people of bad politics, just like the Pharisees were a people of a bad theology. These people both had joined together, as we've already seen in Mark 12 and verse 13, to oppose the Lord. They joined forces. Even though they were enemies, they joined forces so that they could oppose the Lord. The disciples thought that what Jesus was talking about was bread. I want you to notice verses 16 through 21. Look at that with me very carefully again. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have no bread?" But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, now here comes seven questions. You've got to see these seven questions as the Lord begins to address them. Why do you reason because you have no bread? What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? Is it the bread that when I ask you to beware of the leaven, why are you reasoning about that? Number two, do you not yet perceive nor understand? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Don't you get it yet? Hasn't it sunken into your brain yet what I'm talking about? Question number three, is your heart still hardened? That third question just keeps bouncing around in my mind. Still hardened. What does that imply? Their hearts have been hard. They've got their minds made up about who they believe Jesus is and what they believe it is He is supposed to do. Last week, as we explored the idea of tell no man, we made the point that these disciples were thinking purely in physical terms. Peter thought that the Lord would be doing wrong to go to the cross and suffer and die. And Jesus would say to Peter, "You are minding the things of men, not of the things of God." Jesus says, "Is your heart still hardened? Are you not able to still understand what I'm talking about?" Question number four, having eyes, do you not see? Question number five, and having ears, do you not hear? Are you not capable with the eyes that you see with, the ears that you hear with, to understand what I have done and what I have said? So question number six, and do you not remember? And the Lord will have two parts to this question. Do you not remember? Do you not remember when we fed the 5,000 people? How many baskets full of fragments did you pick up? 12. And when I fed the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you pick up? 7. And I'm thinking in my mind, as these disciples are hearing this, does the Lord have the ability to feed these people if He wants to? What if they have one loaf of bread? If you can have 5 loaves of bread and you can feed 5,000 people, what about trying to feed 13 people? Is one loaf of bread enough? More than enough? Why are they reasoning about bread? And then question number 7, how is it that you do not understand? Why is it that you have not gotten this? That's the occasion. Now let's talk about very quickly the opportunities. Jesus makes reference here in this next to last question, two opportunities they had to understand what He was talking about. They had two opportunities to grasp the idea that wherever they were at, that the Lord was capable of providing. When He fed the 5,000, that's recorded in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Or when the Lord fed the 4,000, that's Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. Were it just simply a matter of food, the Lord could take care of them. Let me point out to you, the Lord did take care of them, not just on one occasion, not just on two occasions. The Lord took care of them often. Let me give you an example. If you go back to Mark chapter 6 and verse 8, the Lord sent them on a limited commission. That is, He sent the disciples out to preach repentance. And when He sent them out, He said, He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in the money belts. That's significant. The Lord said, when you go out, don't take anything with you. You can carry your staff to walk with, but as far as food or a bag to carry something or money, don't carry that with you. As I go to Luke chapter 22, verse 35, and the Lord reflects back on that, He said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? And so they said to Him, nothing. You think about the idea that the Lord has always provided for these disciples. Why are they reasoning in their minds about bread? This is not the only time, though, the Lord has had to deal with the lack of understanding. If you go to John chapter 14, Jesus opens that passage by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And the Lord goes on to explain about where He's going and what He is doing. And you get down to verse 8, and Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that is sufficient for us." And Jesus, I know, has to just shake His head and say to Philip, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you get it yet, Philip? Don't you yet understand? Why is it that you people are not grasping what I'm saying?" I have another point or two, and then let me then start getting to what the Lord said. If you'll turn back with me to Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. The Lord has begun to teach in parables. That is, to use an earthly illustration that has a deeper spiritual meaning. In verse 10 it says, "But when He was alone, those around Him with the 12 asked Him about the parable. And He said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.' And He said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?'" Jesus is saying to them, "Here's the way I intended it." Those people with hard hearts, those people who do not love the truth, He said to them, they'll hear, they'll see, but they won't grasp it, they won't understand it. "But to you it has been given, to you it has been given to know, to understand, to grasp these things." And they said, "We don't understand." And the Lord is having to look at them and say, "How are you going to understand the rest of the parables?" If you go to Mark chapter 4, verse 34, just later in that chapter, "But without a parable, He did not speak to them. And when they were alone, He explained all things to His disciples." The Lord had to spoon feed them because they were not yet understanding. Okay, I get it. The Lord has spoken here in Mark chapter 8, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." And the Lord has said to them that statement, and they don't get it. Well, let's get it. Let's see why this is so important. Why this is so essential that they cannot miss this opportunity. Leaven was a figure of influence. In fact, if you want to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, going through verse 8, you will see how the Lord used leaven as an illustration of negative influence. He said, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." He's using leaven as something bad. And Jesus is saying, don't let the influence of those Pharisees and of Herod get a hold of you. The influence of the Pharisees particularly was both subtle and subversive. Subtle in the sense that it could get a hold of you without you realizing it. Subversive in the sense that it has the ability to destroy your souls. In Matthew 23 and verse 28, when Jesus looked at those Pharisees, let me back up to Luke 12, verse 1, first of all, and then I'll go to Matthew 23. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. The Pharisees were people who gave an outward view to other people. They were righteous. They were good. But their hearts were not right. Matthew 23, 28 says, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. The disciples need to understand the ability of that influence to invade them. When I go to Galatians chapter 2, and Paul describes some coming from James, and it says, before certain came from James, Peter, Cephas, ate with the Gentiles, but after they came, he withdrew himself. He played the hypocrite. And it says, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with his, the older translations say dissimulation, the word is hypocrisy. Can you and I get to the point where being a hypocrite's easy? Where we come and we sing loud and we sing strong and we give the appearance that we're faithful people. But in reality, what we know deep down inside is that we're not righteous and we're not faithful and we are not loyal to the Lord. Which brings me to the last part of our lesson very quickly, is that of objectives. What is it that I'm supposed to learn from this passage? When Jesus asked the question in verse 21 of Mark 8, how is it that you do not understand? Why is it that you don't get it? This passage begs for us to make sure that we do understand, that we do listen, we do learn, and that we do not let evil influences take over our lives. When Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, he's trying to say the same thing that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with wise men and you will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. Yes. I can be influenced by evil. You can be influenced by evil. And the Lord says, put up your guard. Don't let hypocrisy, the influence, the leaven of these Pharisees invade you. A third lesson is, many times those who are seeking debates and arguments and asking questions repeatedly are motivated more to score points, as they were in this case, than they were in the search for truth. Lesson number 5, what is it that should be our reaction to situations like this? The Lord sighed deeply. When you and I find ourselves being confronted with situations that are negative and that are bad, shouldn't be a response of anger, should be a response of disappointment. Lesson number 6, the Bible is filled with figures of speech. Figures of speech. Beware of the leaven and of the Pharisees and of Herod. Was the Lord talking about bread? No, He wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about influence. He was using a figure of speech. Quite often the Lord found Himself confronting people who didn't grasp the spiritual nature of His kingdom. John 8, verse 27, they did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. John 10, verse 6, about being the good shepherd, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things of which He spoke to them. When Jesus looked to Pilate, He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My servants would fight that I should not be delivered to Jews. Therefore, My kingdom is not from here." We have to be careful that we do not allow this world to force us to think only of the here and now. Lesson number 7, Jesus says, "Is your heart still hardened?" There's some people who have prejudices, walls built up in their lives that they can't see. You've got to let the Lord tear it down. The key, the answer is verse 18. Do you not remember? The Lord calls on those people to look back at what He has taught. We have to make sure that we study God's Word, to listen, to learn, to open our eyes, and to follow what the Lord says. Would you take your song books out now? As we prepare to sing this song of invitation, the Lord came to this earth, gave His life as a ransom for our sins. He died on that cross to pay for the sins that I have committed and you have committed. But for me to enjoy the blessing of having those sins forgiven, I have to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, repent of my sins, confess my faith in Him, and be baptized. If you've not yet done that this morning, there's no greater joy that we could have than to have a new brother or a new sister in Christ. And there will be joy in the presence of the angels of heaven.